Good morning, everybody. We are on page 147, Wholesome Home Treatment for Mooning. Now, the fault is very seldom in the lessons, but in the children. They moon over their books, and a little wholesome home treatment should cure them of that ailment. Allow them at the utmost an hour and a half for their homework. Treat them tacitly as defaulters if they do not appear at the end of that time. Do not be betrayed into word or look of sympathy, and the moment the time for lesson is over, let some delightful game or storybook be begun in the drawing room. By and by, they will find that it is possible to finish lessons in time to secure a pleasant evening afterwards, and the lessons will be much the better done for the fact that concentrated attention has been bestowed on them. At the same time, the custom of giving homework, at any rate to children under 14, is greatly to be deprecated. The gain of the combination of home and school life is lost to the children, and a very full scheme of schoolwork may be carried through in the morning hours. Rewards and punishments should be relative consequences of conduct. In considering the means of securing attention, it has been necessary to refer to discipline, the dealing out of rewards and punishments, a subject which every tyro of a nursemaid or nursery governess feels herself very competent to handle. But this too has its scientific aspect. There is a law by which all rewards and punishments should be regulated. They should be the natural, or at any rate, the relative consequences of conduct, should imitate, as nearly as may be without injury to the child, the treatment which such and such conduct deserves and receives. In afterlife, Miss Edgeworth, in her story of Rosamond and the Purple Jar, hits the right principle, though the incident is rather extravagant. Little girls do not often pine for purple jars in chemists' windows, but that we should suffer for our willfulness in getting what is unnecessary by doing without what is necessary is precisely one of the lessons of life we all have to learn, and therefore is the right sort of lesson to teach a child. Natural and educative consequences. It is evident that to administer rewards and punishments on this principle requires patient consideration and steady determination on the mother's part. She must consider with herself what fault of disposition the child's misbehavior springs from. She must aim her punishment at that fault and must brace herself to see her child suffer present loss for his lasting gain. Indeed, exceedingly little actual punishment is necessary where children are brought up with care. But this happens continually. The child who has done well gains some natural reward, like that 10 minutes in the garden, which the child forfeits who has done less well. And the mother must brace herself and her child to bear this loss. If she equalizes the two children, she commits a serious wrong, not against the child who has done well, but against the defaulter, whom she deliberately encourages to repeat his shortcoming. In placing her child under the discipline of consequences, the mother must use much tact and discretion. In many cases, the natural consequence of the child's fault is precisely that which it is her business to avert, while at the same time she looks about for some consequence related to the fault which shall have an educative bearing on the child. For instance, if a boy neglects his study, the natural consequence is that he remains ignorant, but to allow him to do so would be criminal neglect on the part of the parent. The habits of application, etc. Rapid mental effort. The habits of mental activity and of application are trained by the very means employed to cultivate that of attention. The child may plod diligently through his work, who might be trained to rapid mental effort. The teacher herself must be alert, must expect instant answers, quick thought, rapid work. The tortoise will lag behind the hare, but the tortoise must be trained to move every day a triple quicker. Aim steadily at securing quickness of apprehension and execution, and that goes far towards getting it. Zeal must be stimulated. So of application, the child must not be allowed to get into the mood in which he says, "Oh, I am so tired of sums or of history." His zeal must be stimulated. There must always be the pleasing vista before him, and steady, untiring application to work should be held up as honourable, while fitful, flagging attention and effort are scouted.